Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome. Come on in. Welcome back, everyone, to A World Powerfully Transformed. This morning, our guest is Sarah Mannion from Karma Choice, a wonderful organization that Unity on Cape Cod is proud to be a supporter of. And we're just so happy to have you this morning, Sarah. Welcome.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We just want to allow our listeners a little time to get to know what Karma Choice is all about. I know it falls in the category of SEL, which is, what is that, social emotional learning?
That's right, yes.
Could you tell us a little about that?
Sure. Social emotional learning is one of those things that to many of us might seem just standard of learning how interpersonal relationships and learning how to build those effectively. And we're finding it more and more important to integrate that into education. Mm. And, you know, the federal guidelines agree with us, and it's actually standard practice now in education, particularly in Massachusetts, to support the social, emotional learning and well-being of students. And Karma Choice is doing that too with our mindfulness curriculum. So it's a great interplay.
That is awesome. Mindfulness curriculum.
Right?
What is some of the things that are involved in mindfulness curriculum?
Yeah, great question. And maybe I can start by saying, so Karma Choice is an organization that's been around since 2010. I'm sure many mm-hmm. of your audience might know us, mm-hmm. founded by the wonderful Fiona Jensen, with the idea of how can we support kids in school who are struggling with just a variety of really intense stressors that are in our world right now. And as a mindfulness practitioner, she thought, mindfulness, key. This is such an easy tool to bring to students. Why not? Why not? Let's try this. And I give this context to say that back when we started in 2010, there wasn't a curriculum. It was, you know, Fiona had been in a practice herself and was aware that research was starting to be done on the science of mindfulness and that this could support social emotional learning. And so as she was starting, she thought, oh, we should build an established curriculum because we're working in a school setting. And so we started to build a curriculum based on MBSR, which is mindfulness-based stress reduction.
Oh, great.
Yes, which has a lot of clinical science behind how you take mindfulness and actually how it shifts the brain. Mm-hmm. So she built this, and it was nothing at that time, that was just for adults. And she thought, kids should have this too. We should have a foundation for lifelong well-being. And so basically, long story short, over the course of several years, we built a 16-lesson curriculum. It's an 8-week curriculum mm-hmm. that we bring into K-5 classrooms across Cape Cod.
That's excellent. And I've heard you've touched thousands of young lives already. What are some of the numbers that you could let me know about?
Yeah, so what's incredible is the amount of districts. We've been working in 6 school districts across Cape Cod. this was pre-pandemic. And then, of course, with the shift to distance learning, we had to be creative and see how can we use the internet to bring mindfulness into the classroom. And since then, we're really grateful that the schools have opened back up to us. And we're now in three school districts. So Dennis Yarmouth, Falmouth, and Middleborough, about 11 schools that we're serving. And it's kindergarten through fifth grade classrooms in these three districts.
So that's like 30,000?
A lot.
Children.
A lot of children are receiving Comfort Choice.
That's
it's
amazing.
Wonderful.
Oh, I wish I had that when I was a kid. Stress reduction. I remember, I think we hold that stress in our bodies that we feel as young people, even into adulthood. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, and if you're not, you know, if you don't have that foundation of even just being aware that it's there, it's really hard to make the changes, particularly later in life.
So, yeah, you know, and I've also heard that stress reduction and knowing how to handle your emotions better leads to better learning and more ability to absorb information and learn about your world. Is that right?
It is right. I mean, the science, particularly in the last 5 years, has been incredible. The number of studies that have happened have exploded. And what's interesting is that there was an MIT study done on Calmer Choice back in 2016 and a research paper published in 2020. And that was the first real peer-reviewed study done on children. So this was done with sixth graders in Dorchester using our curriculum. And to test, there was a control group of kids who got programming classes, computer programming, and then a group of kids who got Calmer Choice for a series of weeks. And MIT actually did brain imaging scans to look at the activity in the amygdala, which is the oldest part of the brain that's responsible for fight, flight, or freeze responses, which really actually kind of is the home and seat of stress in our bodies. And so what was found and what is extraordinary in this study is that our program actually showed in the brain reductions in amygdala activity with the kids that had received Calmer Choice. And even more extraordinary is that trend of reduced stress continued even after the program had ended.
Amazing. So it's actually creating changes in the brain that are long-lasting.
That are long-lasting.
That's amazing.
And actually, 8 weeks is the amount of time that it takes for these changes to start to take root. And so that's the reason behind the scientific basis for our 8-week curriculum in the schools.
That's amazing. I heard something from our guest speaker last week. She was talking about feeling like a divine expression of love in the world. And she says, we don't feel like we're divine expressions of love because we haven't developed neural pathways to learn about our expression of love. And that struck me as something so poignant, so beautiful, that this practice is not religious at all. It's really scientific. We call it spiritual, but it really is just something that comes so natural. Developing neural pathways for compassion, for love, for regulating emotions, all of those things that we all want to experience in life. And it's exciting to me to hear the study shows that it lasts even after the program is over.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, Tony. Thank you for sharing that. And I also want to make sure that listeners know that yes, you can build this practice, but it's something that we all have internally inside us. We're born with incredible capacities for mindful awareness and resilience and love and compassion. And sometimes just the external stressors that we experience as being human just kind of create some noise, and all you need is just a little bit of time and attention to rebuild that. Like it's a muscle, it's a mindfulness muscle. And it's really wonderful to see how, as you model it yourself, as you are that expression in the world of mindfulness, the change in those around you becomes evident.
Wow, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's called social emotional learning, but I feel like it's more about the individual. Is that correct? It's looking at yourself, feeling yourself and your own emotions.
I think it's both. And an example of that from the research, the new research being done, actually, particularly in the last 5 years, is also around educators, which is fascinating, because the thing, you know, we all want to support the children, and we know that working upstream, i.e. starting these skills when you're young, will create the foundation of lifelong well-being. However, if you want mindful kids, we need mindful adults surrounding those kids. And we also are aware of just what educators and school staff have been through in the last 2 years, what we've all been through in the last 2 years. What we're finding is they're burnt out, they're stressed, they're exhausted. And for them to access the practice also, and the science shows this, is that it helps reduce their own stress, their burnout. It improves classroom management, classroom organization, and reduces depressive symptoms for the teachers. And that affects the kids. So
Absolutely.
Yes, it starts with the self, but it has ripple effects.
Of course, yeah. That's great that you mentioned that, because I can remember as a kid, the teachers I loved the most were the ones who were calm, confident, and could handle any situation with grace and ease. And the classes that were most chaotic and I didn't really learn anything were the ones where the teachers were really stressed out.
Of course. Absolutely. You can feel that energetically.
So tell me a little more about the studies in the brain science, the newest studies that have come out recently.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, the benefits of mindfulness for teachers and school employees are what is fascinating us a lot, and what has really driven the creation of a new model for Commerce Choice programming. And what the studies are showing right now is that, particularly for teachers, there's an increase in well-being, an increase of quality of sleep, in teaching performance and relaxation overall, like you were talking about, relaxed teachers are better for kids, and a reduction in burnout, anxiety, stress, and depression. And so when we're looking at, you know, how mindfulness supports the kids, what we're hoping for is that, and the science shows this, that it increases executive function, emotion and behavior regulation, so that social-emotional learning piece, attention, well-being, and pro-social behaviors. At the same time, it's reducing stress and anxiety, negative behaviors, hyperactive impulsivity, and other negative mental health traits. And so I think the other thing is that is what the science is showing, and what is helpful that we have those peer-reviewed scientific evidence is when we're going into schools that are already overwhelmed, already have too much on their plate, we can show, look, actually, there's scientific basis behind this. It's not just a nice to have. This is a critical to have for your classroom. And this is the direct effect that long-term you're seeding in your classrooms.
Yeah.
And so that's very exciting.
It is. I would think for teachers, they would be asking for this in their schools. There's a real teacher shortage in our country now, and I think a lot of it is due to burnout and stress.
And you know, it's funny, I was in Middleborough observing some classrooms just last week, and there was a substitute teacher with, frankly, quite a challenging class, and they were in, you know, their Commerce Choice lesson with the instructor, and the substitute, bless her heart, turned around, and she was deep breathing and doing five-finger breathing herself just to calm down. And yet another teacher in the hall kind of waved us down and stopped us and said, Commerce Choice, I'm so sorry that I'm going to miss you today. I love having you in my classroom, because it is my opportunity to stop and relax and breathe. And so I'm sad that I won't be with you today. And so that was great to hear from her side as well.
This is so great. So three school districts, how many do we have on the Cape or in our area, our immediate area? Do you know?
We have a lot.
Yeah.
We have not even approached saturation for Comma Choice. And then the other thing, too, is with this new program model that has components of education, mentorship, and community, we have different aspects of our programming that go beyond the classroom curriculum. So we're also doing a mindfulness coach pilot in DY, which is a full-time district resource, Commerce Choice staff, that supports the teachers and how to extend the program beyond that 8 weeks in the classroom. And then we're doing mindfulness circles, which are spaces for people to come together in community and share practice and learn from each other. And so even though we might be in one district providing education in the classroom, that doesn't mean that there's not area to expand and deepen. And so, yes, we want to expand. We would love to have a presence in all Commerce Choice, in all districts across the Cape. Mm-hmm. But we're also thinking about depth and not breadth necessarily.
Oh, great. Thank you.
So the idea of just really, really thinking about the impact and ensuring that we're delivering quality services.
Mm-hmm. Quality instead of quantity.
Yes.
The quantity comes.
Yes.
Eventually.
Yep.
And I know that this social emotional learning is really exploding across the country. Do you, do you see that trend in other states?
For sure. It is something that I think, you know, I'm most familiar with Massachusetts guidelines. Mm-hmm. And I think it is something that is being recognized as just a critical need, particularly with the stressors of screens and social media and general isolation and disconnection being felt by all of us, but particularly in adolescents, children and adolescents. Mm-hmm. And so the need to bring those skills back in intentionally is critical. And Massachusetts, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, has guidelines that say, you must do this. That it is so important to us. We recognize for kids how important this is to us, that it is a requirement for our schools.
Excellent. That is so great. I'm so happy it's recognized as something that's necessary. I know initially one of the motivators for the formulation of Commerce Choice was the rise in drug addiction among young people on the Cape. And I actually have seen, I don't know all the factors contributing to it, but I've seen that decrease quite a bit, even though nationally it's increasing. Mm. I've seen it decrease here on Cape Cod. And I'm very happy that our community is doing things to prevent things like drug addiction and suicide rates and all the things, the ugly symptoms of what you call isolation and all those other stressors that have happened, not just during the pandemic, but all during childhood and adolescence.
Right.
When you spend so much time on your screen, it's important to learn how to connect to people again.
Yeah.
So is that part of what happens? I'm just curious. In the Commerce Choice curriculum, do you feel that connection to others is something that happens more easily?
Well, maybe I can answer that with just a story from just yesterday in Falmouth. We were doing our gratitude lesson, as it turns out, and I was in a third grade classroom. And it is amazing what kids share. And I do agree with you that overall, I do think that there is a reduction in maybe some of the effects of the opioid epidemic. Mm-hmm. However, there's still a presence. And this story from this little girl is going to illustrate that. We sit in a circle in Commerce Choice in the classroom. And with the gratitude lesson, each child shares something that makes them happy because we're teaching them about what gratitude is. And this one girl, she said in a very quiet voice, she said, I'm very happy to have had my cousin in my life. She had three children and she just died of an overdose.
Oh.
And, you know, that's a lot to hold, hearing from a third grader sitting in this classroom and having the other kids hearing that. And then, you know, the lesson, the instructor handled it beautifully and acknowledged it in a compassionate way. And as we moved through the lesson, there was then a chance to say, you know, what you're grateful for and practice a little bit of that, turning to your neighbor and saying, I'm grateful you're here, and building those kinds of relational connections. And at the end, we went around again and said, what are you grateful for? And she's like, the same little girl said, I'm so grateful you're here. To the Karma Choice facilitator. And that has happened several times in the classroom, of the kids just out of the blue expressing gratitude for that.
Yeah, it's incredible what children go through. We don't even know, because they're not given a forum to express their feelings and talk about what's going on in their lives. And there's so much that happens that they may internalize. I know growing up, I just internalized it. I never talked to anyone about what I was going through. To have a place to voice your emotion, what's going on with you, I think is so important. Why do you feel Massachusetts in particular is now requiring some kind of social emotional learning?
Ooh, great question. I mean, I'm a little bit biased because I'm from the Cape and I'm from Massachusetts, but I think that our educational system is a little bit ahead of the game in mm-hmm. the country. I mean, we are a leader in education and recognizing what is required, what the next thing is, what's going on, and how to make education a priority. And I just think that Massachusetts does that, frankly, better than a lot of states. And we put the resources and money into making that happen, because it's not easy mm-hmm. and requires those kinds of resources. So I'd love to get someone from the state in to hear more about that. But I'm so grateful that that is the case.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the science helps mm-hmm. to have peer-reviewed science evidence of the benefits of mindfulness and these kind of programs. I'm sure that really helps.
100%. And it's just growing. The body of evidence is growing every day.
Excellent. Are there some other places? Have you traveled in California or some other places? Anywhere that you know of? I'm just curious yeah. to know who else is doing this.
Oh, in terms of mindfulness and
yes.
education?
Yes.
Well, what is exciting is that when Karma Choice first started, we were kind of a pioneer and there weren't that many in the field. Now we are one of many, and that is beautiful. And so what they call in the research arena, they call mindfulness MBIs, or mindfulness-based interventions. And the reason they do that is because there's actually a lot of different ways of doing this. There are some programs like Inner Explorer that are just recorded programs that teachers can bring into their classroom and have a recorded lesson come in without having to have a person who is a live person there. Mm-hmm. And that's great for schools that might have fewer resources or not be close to Karma Choice. There are others. California does an incredible job. There's Mindful Schools. There's so many different organizations who are in different ways focusing on different aspects of this. So we focus on elementary. Others focus on middle and high school interventions. Mm-hmm. Others focus on screen-based, frankly, interactive ways of engaging kids in mindfulness. Others focus on movement. So yoga, connecting yoga and mindfulness and those kinds of intersections. And all of it's great and all of it's needed. And I'm so glad that now it's just understood and accepted that this is helpful for kids and we should be exploring and integrating this.
Yes, I'm very excited about that it's in middle school and high school. I think high school is a very challenging time for a lot of young adults. And to have a forum where they can express themselves, an outlet for their feelings, where they're accepted, and a way to build new neural pathways. This is so important. I feel that the use of drugs is to shut off. They're trying to shut off the effects of the amygdala, and it doesn't work. It can't work that way, as you know. So do you foresee some of these programs infiltrating or getting some time in the high schools around here?
It's the dream. I mean, it's the dream to support all levels of people from the youngest kids up to the oldest adults and everything in between. And for our program, we're looking at exploring different ways of how can we support the middle school and high school. It may be developing curriculum-specific approaches, because our curriculum just goes up to really grades 5, 6 right now. Mm-hmm. So we may develop different curriculums, or we may have different programming. These mindfulness circles are also a really interesting way to potentially bring it into the schools as an elective that kids opt into, for instance.
Excellent.
Yeah. And so we're piloting, exploring, and welcome some collaboration from others who are also already doing this and not having to reinvent the wheel.
Right, exactly. And some of the kids that you're with now in elementary school are going to be in middle school and high school pretty soon. So they'll already have a familiarity with it.
Well, and a really cool story about that, actually. I was on WCAI The Point a few weeks ago, and a student called in, a DY high school student, about his experience with Commerce Choice. And it was really amazing to hear, because what he said was, I got Commerce Choice in elementary school, and he was really honest. He's like, I didn't like it. It was boring. But then he went on to say, he said, you know, as I got older and as I started to really feel the stress and the pressures of high school, I remembered what I had learned in Commerce Choice, and I am still using it today.
Wow.
And that is exactly, we were just like, oh my goodness, that is exactly what we're trying to do.
That's excellent. Yes. And hopefully, you know, we all can take a moment, take a breath, remember that, you know, who we are and why we're here, you know, to really love and support one another. That's what unity is all about. And I'm so glad you're able to come today and share some of your experience with Commerce Choice with us. I just am so thrilled that this program is here on the Cape. I know my wife works for Commerce Choice. She's one of the instructors. She loves it. It's changed her life.
And we love her, by the way.
Okay. It's hard not to. And we're just so happy to support, you know, more programs like Commerce Choice and in developing you know, happier, healthier kids and happier, healthier adults. I'm so grateful for the work you're doing, Sarah, and just if you could bring that back to everyone at Commerce Choice for us here at Unity, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And the community support is everything to us, so thank you.
Yeah, so reach out and make Commerce Choice one of your regular charities to donate to here on Cape Cod, because they are doing great work. You'll be hearing more from us, and many more wonderful guests are coming your way here on A World Powerfully Transformed. Bye for now. Bye, Sarah.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.